Everyone's conclusion is the same. We are trending towards the tribulation.
Blown away by the hours, 8-10 hours that they've traveled. Yeah. They've come by car, by plane, by boat. It's unbelievable these people have come from and how far they've traveled.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I just had another discussion with a couple there, and both in agreement. I said, what this is showing us is you get to have the privilege to travel around the world in these locations around the planet. And we get to invest in the remnant is really the way I look at it. It's like a missionary journey, really what it is. And so we're making these investments as ministries, as we come together, work together. We go into these different countries and we see the remnant come out. But what does that tell you though? And this is our discussion we're having. I says, it tells you the church wants this information. The church wants all the Bible. The church certainly wants Bible prophecy. The church wants to know what's going on.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, Radio for the Remnant. The woke agenda hasn't worked anywhere, including in the church. So what are the believers in Western Europe to do? And what does it mean when they say the deep state isn't going away? Here is today's programming.
This is our second trip to Ayr, Scotland.
Yep.
And I have to say, I think this time is even, I don't want to say better, but just the outpouring of people and the appreciation they have for us and our ministries coming here has just been overwhelming. What do you attribute to that?
Well, certainly the hunger for God's truth. And I think people that may last time have found out more last minute or wish that they come, didn't come, but they realized what an opportunity that was. They weren't going to miss it this time.
Yeah.
And I think that reflects with the attendance of people coming from everywhere that we've heard.
Blown away by the hours, 8-10 hours that they've traveled. Yeah. They've come by car, by plane, by boat. It's unbelievable these people have come from and how far they've traveled.
Well, and I just had another discussion with a couple there, and both in agreement. I said, what this is showing us is you get to have the privilege to travel around the world in these locations around the planet. And we get to invest in the remnant is really the way I look at it. It's like a missionary journey, really what it is. And so we're making these investments as ministries, as we come together, work together. We go into these different countries and we see the remnant come out. But what does that tell you though? And this is our discussion we're having. I says, it tells you the church wants this information. The church wants all the Bible. The church certainly wants Bible prophecy. The church wants to know what's going on. But the gatekeepers is what I call them. The shepherds, the leadership, the board, whatever, they're the ones who are keeping it from you. And they were going, you hit it spot on. This is exactly what's going on. And so I think that's what we see. We're giving them what not just a bunch of fringe people want. Christians want to hear this.
Exactly.
And dare I say, it's the same pattern we go everywhere. And dare I say, even in America.
Exactly.
I think there's a whole lot more people can, and I think with each of our ministers, we see the outpouring of people who connect, who tune in, who watch, because they want to go. But why? It's the same problem. The gatekeepers who've wormed their way into position of power and control in the church are keeping it from happening. And it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio. And Olive Tree Ministries has actually been on a missions trip, ministering to remnant churches and believers, Scotland, Ireland, Switzerland, just a couple of weeks ago. And our representatives, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, traveled and taught in multiple locations, along with Mondo Gonzalez, Billy Crone, Brandon Holthaus, and some others. And my goodness, the plight of European-type churches, it's beyond abysmal. What happened, and when did it happen, why did it happen, and how can we apply that to what's happening in America today? So I've asked Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael to come in studio and talk to us at least for a few minutes. In part two of my programming, I'll changing topics a little bit, but gentlemen, welcome into the studio and thank you.
Thanks for having us, Jen.
Great to be here, Jen.
Ken, what happened to the church in Europe? And you have had attendees, they have come for hours, in fact, days, by car, plane, train, you name it, because they want to come and hear the truth. That implies they're not getting the truth.
It's one of two things. Either they don't have a church to attend, or the church that is near them is gone woke, and they're not preaching the full counsel of God. What we've heard is the churches that are there, most of them are government-run. And when your church is government-run, then you have to preach a gospel that doesn't go against the LGBTQ agenda, the Palestinian agenda. Most churches over there that are still up and running support the Palestinians. And you and I both know that if you want to find a woke church, all you have to do is ask them their theology and their stance towards Israel. That's what we saw over there. And like the people said, they traveled hours to come there because there literally are no churches over there. The ones that are there have just completely gone woke.
Pastor Josh, what I'm hearing in the church, at least in Europe, social gospel, probably green agenda, NAR, talking about church growth, pro-Palestine, amillennial, and maybe in one word, and I think Candace just suggested that, woke. Help us understand pastors employed by the state.
It is very strange to an American mindset to think of pastors employed by the state, but really it's simply that. The state is the ones who are paying for and or giving tax breaks to these pastors, so therefore their hands are tied as to what they can teach. You cannot teach against sinful behaviors that are culturally okay when you have your hands tied by the government.
Then, Josh, does this set a new meaning to the term remnant? Because I don't know how many attended your various activities and teachings over there. My hunch was not tens of thousands, but what does it mean to be a remnant member in Scotland, Ireland, Switzerland, for that matter, all of Western Europe?
It does redefine remnant. It narrows it down even further than what we might even think. There are very few people. There are little dots all throughout, little Bible studies of people that are gathering together, that are teaching and learning the whole counsel of the Word of God. Reminds me really of that small remnant group that the author to the Hebrews is writing to. It is a small group of people that are being oppressed by the culture writ large and the demonic influence thereof, and they are hunkering down with one another.
Ken, I heard various representatives, attendees, say, well, be careful, this is coming to America. Well, I think it already is in America, maybe not to the degree that it is in Western Europe, but we don't have seeker sensitive, we don't have NAR, we've got everything they're talking about and everything they're worried about.
You know, I've been traveling the country for over 3 years now. Almost every community I go to, they say it's so hard to find a church that speaks the full counsel of God. When we advertise these events, there are people traveling hours just to come to the events that Josh and I are at. You're right. The exact same thing is happening here in America. And I was there last year and they warned us, look out, this is coming to America. But I do want to give a major kudos to Pastor Billy Crone because he has a heart for preaching the gospel across the street and around the world. And what he's done is set this up so that those people that don't have churches, he'll be their church. They can go online and look at any one of his preachings from the last 12 years. And then even if there's not a pastor available, we're seeing groups. And here's the big difference from last year. Last year, they told us there was no church. Billy Crone said, okay, then somebody needs to step up. And whether it's 2, 5, 10, 20, that's what we're seeing. These people gathering together now, and they're having their own church. And if they don't have a pastor, Billy will be their pastor. They go over these teachings, and then they have a Bible study after. And that was the big difference I saw from last year to this year. Like Josh said, there's these little points of light all over Europe now because of our ministries preaching the gospel and not just preaching and telling them what's going on out there, but actually helping them set up these small churches. And it's almost like we're going back in time to when the church started. And these are the small groups that we're seeing all over Europe.
I'd like my audience to hear one of these remnant pastors, Pastor Gary in Ireland. He's warning that it's coming to America again. Pastor Gary is here, but not to the level I think that he's experiencing.
Hey, everyone, you're not going to believe this, but we found a remnant pastor right here in Portadown, Ireland, and we're so happy that you're with us. Pastor Gary, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell Americans, because they have no idea the state of the church over here, tell us a little bit about the state of the church, your church, who comes to your church, how far do they travel?
In general, the state of the church is about 20 years behind where America was. There's still that church growth movement, people looking to fill seats but not looking to disciple. We find that the church is quite split at the minute. I've seen so many churches be pro-Palestine, anti-Israel. I've seen that from ministers. I've heard that from Christians. I know as a pastor myself that we've had since October 7th, people leave the church off the basis of that.
Based on what you're preaching?
Based on what we're preaching, we're pro-Israel, we're pro-Bible, and we teach the entirety of Scripture. We've had disagreements with people as well because people don't want to talk about things, any terms of eschatology. They don't want any dispensationalism. And the amillennial hold is vast. So if you're talking pre-tribulation rapture, if you're talking dispensationalism or anything like that, you're not deemed as part of the crowd.
Sure.
In terms of where Europe is and where Ireland is and where Northern Ireland is, you're seeing mass amount of wokeism, but it's also integrated into our legal system now. You go down to Dublin, they've had since 2015 the gender identification bill, which means that basically anybody can self-identify.
Oh, wow.
So you're getting people in prisons who are genetically one sex, and then they're going to the opposite prison and you're having that. So there's an awful lot happening here, and there's an awful lot. When in terms of the protests that were recent, they were here too. So they weren't just in London. We had protests here. There were people arrested for watching the protests, people immediately sentenced for watching the protests, whilst at the same time, people who have been maybe paedophiles released back onto the street. In terms of our church, we do a Bible study every week where we go line by line, precept by precept. So it's taken me, the last 6 years, we've done 3 books of the Bible. I'm quite slow.
That's awesome.
And we've got an activated church. We're not massive. We're just over 100 members, but there's no such thing as pew sitters. So people go out onto the street, they witness. People go and witness to different groupings. People go to anti-abortion rallies and they witness there. They go all around and they're activated. And that was the goal of the church, to teach the entirety of Scripture, to make kind of like the book of Acts, to embolden the brethren to actually go out and be about the Father's business. Praise the Lord. So,
Pastor Gary, how far are people coming from to go to your church?
So obviously Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, are classed as 2 separate countries, one island. So we have people travel up from the south on a Sunday to us. I think the average family travel over an hour. And I think that's because, like it says in Amos 8:11, there'll be a famine in the end times, not of bread or water, but of the word of God.
Yeah.
And people are searching.
They absolutely are searching. Now, you've said you're not part of the state church, but can you explain to our listeners in America and around the world, what is the state church and how does that affect the church as a whole in Europe?
Well, the state church is integral with the state. So if you take, for instance, you've got the Church of England, Church of Scotland, Church of Ireland, but the Church of England being the main one to take an example of. So they have a lot of land.
Really?
And a lot of that has come from their integration with the state. Now that then comes along in the negative sense in terms of policies and in terms of procedures and in terms of wokeism. So for instance, to use the Church of England as the main example, because they're the biggest, they recently done a study in regards to sort of historic racism and slavery and how the church was integrated in this. So this was all state funded, and it's the same reason that they are trying to remove their name church from the Church of England.
Right.
But they done this study and they paid, I think, over £1 million for these people to come in and study it. And they were given these recommendations. One of the recommendations, which should show you the effect of being a state church, was that they apologize as a church to the African nations for sharing the gospel and taking them away from their real God.
Sure.
The fact that the Church of England considers this shows you that there's a problem.
Right. It's no church at all, as the Bible would explain a church. A church in the Bible is one that's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations, as Jesus proclaimed in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Thank you for that explanation. That's really helpful. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for coming and just being encouraged and encouraging us.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael. They both are representatives of this ministry. They've been to some of your churches and prophecy conferences, and they've just been to Europe, touring with Mondo Gonzalez, Billy Crone, Brandon Holthaus, and I call you 5 guys in a Bible. You're not 5 guys in a burger. So, Josh Schwartz, speak into what we've just heard. Again, remnant pastor, and I picked up on something he said, and I want you to address it, please. He said people left after October 7th. In other words, October 7th, 2023, Israel's attacked by terrorists. People in his church got mad?
Absolutely. And he had people leaving because he was preaching the truth. The truth is that God has future plans for Israel, a future plan of restoration of the land, and also a future salvific plan for Israel. And people don't like that, especially when they're buying into the narrative of the mainstream media. And so it makes them uncomfortable and they have to make a decision. Am I going to trust what this pastor is telling me, or am I going to trust what the media is telling me? Because none of the other churches are preaching this. And so they went to a church that made them a little bit more comfortable.
This anti-Israel sentiment, it's clearly every continent in the world cannot stand Israel. At this point in time, when she said an incredible point in history, when the Antichrist is waiting in the wings, and it makes me think that some of these so-called Christians in Europe, let's just confine it to Europe, that is where the Antichrist arises out of, are they going to receive the Antichrist with great enthusiasm?
Absolutely. I think they'll welcome him with open arms. He's the man with the plan. Okay. He's the one that's going to bring peace to the Middle East and the world.
Ken, you speak into this too, please.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the symbolism is already up and running there. We saw the opening of the Swedish tunnel, how demonic that was.
Very good. That is so true. That was 2016.
Yeah, I played a clip of that. And if you look all around Europe, it's there. And I'll steal a line from Pastor Josh, and that's, we can't call it the church anymore because the church is dead. Are they believers in Jesus Christ? I think that's what we have to address this is, do they believe in salvation through Christ? And then what's their theology towards Israel? I think those are the two main points. You find that when you go over there, very few hold that doctrine.
And it was fascinating to me in this clip we just heard with Pastor Gary. Mm-hmm. He says this, his church, the people come from hours away. They drive, some ride the train. And he called them not pew sitters, but he called them the church activated. And in my mind, he's taking seriously what the scriptures teach in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells us, now the Spirit expressly says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. But then Paul says, to combat this, what we must do, you must put the truth before the brothers. You must encourage them. You must stand firm on the word of God, letting Jesus Christ be the center of all these things. And that is what's going to activate the church. So I am so thankful that Pastor Gary is standing firm, activating the church, and putting them out to share the good news with a dark world.
And then as a side note, both Josh and I had different encounters of anti-Semitism. I was in a gift shop, and a young man was helping me out, and I asked him where he was from, and he was kind of hesitant to tell me about his background. But then when he asked me why I was there, I told him I was there for a Bible conference. And he ended up telling me he was Jewish and that he was afraid for his safety in Dublin. He said, if anyone finds out that I'm Jewish, I will be beaten. And I said, seriously, I said, why are you here? Why can't you go to either the United States or better, why don't you go back to Israel? He said, I don't have the money. He said, I'm barely surviving here. So I gave him my card and hopefully he contacts me. Pray, his name is Paul. Pray that he contacts us. And then Josh had an experience also.
Yeah, tell us.
We were touring a castle just a couple miles north of the Dublin airport. We went in to talk to the curators of the castle, the volunteers there, and quickly turned to, why are you here? Talked about being at a Bible prophecy conference, and I was teaching there. And they said, well, the New Testament's really easy to understand. How do you interpret that Old Testament? I said, it's super simple. It's two things. Number one, the consistent character of God. And number two, God's chosen people, Israel. And they said, oh, goodness, the atrocities, the genocide that the Israelites are putting forth against the Palestinians is just atrocious. And they said, as I was leaving, be careful. Don't make your presence too known here as you exit the castle, because every Sunday at 3 o'clock, we have a pro-Palestinian rally, and they will know you're American. They will hear your accent. They will see the way that you carry yourself, and they will assume you're supportive of Israel, and they will accost you.
I think I'm going to play one more clip. This happens to be you gentlemen with Brandon Holthouse, one of the gentlemen participating in this prophecy conference. And I want my audience to hear about the opposition that you have to just trying to share the gospel and spread the gospel, a missionary spirit going on here. But this is what you have to contend with.
And I'm here with our good friend, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. Brandon, thanks for joining us.
I bet you, man.
So we were here last year, and we just had a wonderful time. You and I were talking about some of the experiences we had. Yeah. See anything different this year compared to last year?
I see more satanic opposition than what I see, man.
Right?
So we had this idea last year, we got to come back.
Right.
Ministering to the remnant was great. These people are desperate for truth and Bible prophecy and whatnot. So we made plans, obviously all of us did, to come back. And I'm thinking it's going to be as easy as it was last year. No, it's been 10 times harder to get here. and to survive here. We've had really bad weather, ice on the roads last night. It was so bad that we got in a car accident with another person here in Ireland. Thank God no one was hurt, but crazy stuff. Delays on airports, problems with rooms in the hotel. I know you guys have had problems. It's been one thing after another. And again, after a while, I start seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All these things start adding up. I'm like, all right, this is demonic.
Yeah, that's my only take on that. I would agree. We've had flight delays, hotel delays. Staying up for literally 24 hours at a time. So we just want people to know we're not on vacation out here.
No.
But I think it's well worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. The sacrifice is worth it. Because what people need to understand and what we're trying to get across is they don't have pastors here that will lead them, that will talk about the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
What we found out here was kind of mind-blowing that this is still going on. Many of their pastors are paid by the state. The government pays their salaries.
Yes.
And so because of that, they're self-editing. They won't say anything because they're getting money from the state. I'm like, how did this happen?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's totally different than the church in America where you have tax exemption and 501c3. So it's a totally different scene over here. Wouldn't you agree, Josh?
Yeah, it's absolutely different. And not only that, it's broken doctrinally. The things that we've had to cover in the Q&As that we've done so far, it's all just... These are entry-level doctrines that people are just don't understand because they don't have someone that's literally being able to teach them the Bible. So we've got the remnant coming in saying, we love Jesus, we want to press forward, but we need to be discipled. We need to be pressing forward and learning the doctrine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed, but this year compared to last year, now we're seeing people one by one starting to step up and say, you know what, I'll take the lead in this. Have you noticed that also?
They did, and that's what I'm noticing is a grassroots movement. And they're realizing, okay, I can't count on this pastor to lead me. He's not going to lead. He works for the state. I'm going to do it. What I've been talking to different people, they've started their own Bible study. It might be five people, but they're studying the Bible. And the great thing is they're watching you guys. They're watching Billy. They're watching Mondo. They're watching me. They're watching Jan.
Yep.
And they're getting fed watching us through the internet, which is great.
Yeah, we praise God for that.
But these little Bible studies are popping up and they're kind of taking the responsibility and maybe one of them will say, okay, I'll be the pastor. That's what's starting to happen, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's showing the vacuum of leadership here in Europe. It's horrible.
Either one of you like to comment to what we've just heard?
We felt a demonic attack. We had two flights delayed. Our luggage was left behind in the beginning at Scotland. We almost got snowed in Switzerland time after time. So we ended up staying up for two full days, one almost right after the other. So you're tired, you don't have your luggage, and sitting in airports is hard on you. I'm not complaining. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. But you could just feel this demonic attack against what we were doing this time versus last year.
Yeah, and when things that are normally fairly simple to deal with get very hard, that Satan doesn't want those things to be happening. He is allowing his demonic minions to be oppressive towards the truth and towards the truth speakers. We felt it almost everywhere we went. Traveling in Europe is difficult as it is, but there was new different things that were coming up, especially in Heathrow, that every single time we had to go through security, they have a new system that is run by AI. And it learns continuously as every bag is gone through there. I was at Heathrow three times in a week. Every single time we were flagged for something totally different that had gone through previously. It was over the top oppressive that you couldn't even imagine it.
It was us. It was Brandon. Mondo's flight got delayed. He couldn't go to the destination he wanted. When he finally got into the States in Dallas, his luggage didn't make it all. It's just everyone on the trip was attacked.
Want to get a hold of Pastor Josh Schwartz or Ken Michael here at Olive Tree Ministries, send them an email, josh@olivetreeviews.org or ken@olivetreeviews.org. These two gentlemen might be available to come and visit your church or bring a conference, etc. Josh, give me a couple of minutes on this, please. I'm looking at a headline, How Dispensationalism Got Left Behind. So dispensationalism is, some people call it left behind theology. And this article goes on to state, relatively insignificant Irishman from Plymouth Brethren, John Nelson Darby, prompted the proliferation of dispensational theology, especially its eschatology or theology of the end times. That theology says there's a literal antichrist, a literal tribulation, a literal role for Israel, a literal rapture, and a literal millennium. According to this magazine article, this whole theology is getting left behind. Question number one, has it been left behind in Europe? And where do you see it going in America?
that's absolutely been left behind in Europe. What we see in Europe now is a dominating theology of amillennialism and thus replacement theology. And here in America, we are seeing a more and more fading away of dispensationalism because of sensational teaching over the last 30, 40 years. In the same camp that dispensationalists are in, we've been grouped together with them, and therefore we are considered as sensational or unnecessary. And so we are seeing it fade.
And one of the modern day founders put it on the map, Hal Lindsey, and I'm going to make comments in part two of my program, folks, on Hal. Passed away a couple of weeks ago, had a profound impact on my life. His book, like Great Planet Earth, of course, had a huge impact on dispensational theology because he took the complicated, made it very easy to understand for the man on the street, the woman on the street, like me, to understand things to come, which had previously been documented in very scholarly books.
Praise the Lord for Hal Lindsey and his ministry. And praise the Lord for faithful Bible teachers who make the hard things very simple.
When I come back, and we're going to spend a few more minutes together when I come back, I want to go in a totally different direction. And that is some comments about our election a few weeks ago now and where the country might be going. For that matter, I'm curious how European believers, and you've been fellowshipping with them for 2 weeks, saw our November election and where America might go, and how might it apply to them? We'll get into all of that, folks, in just a moment or two. I'm coming right back. Please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of deception and delusion, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. Jan Markell's new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is now available. The book is a compilation of some of the best messages given at her Understanding the Times conferences in suburban Minneapolis over 20 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinzen, Jeff Kinley, and many more, and all examine these last days with hope and anticipation. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call our office Central Time, Monday through Friday, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or get on our newsletter list. When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is encouraging, uplifting, and is filled with messages that will fill you up and build you up, even in perilous times. Order yours today.
As I've traveled the country, I've had former CIA and current CIA people, FBI agents, come up to me and talk to me after, and they say, if Trump gets elected, the entire Justice Department needs to be revamped. We're talking the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, the people that put the nation through years of phony, made-up accusations and investigations, like former FBI Director James Comey, Andrew McCabe, all the former heads of state that were in the intelligence agency that said Trump was colluding with Russia, they all need to be held accountable.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Here is Jan Markell to introduce the balance of today's programming.
And welcome back. Jan Markell here, heavy in studio. Our two representatives who do a lot of traveling literally around the world, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, they may have been at your church or conference. And we have some of the folks who are attending in Europe, the prophecy conferences there, listening today as well. You can tune into their online presentation as well, Understanding Our Times. Gentlemen, I teased going out of part one that I want to comment a little bit and get your input and the European believers' input and reaction to our November election. And I have summed it up on air with some other guests as the deep state's not going to slouch away. They're certainly not going to go without a serious fight. And quite frankly, they're never going away, period. But they're going to fight against Donald Trump until they can't see straight anymore. Ken, tell me the reaction of the European believers to Donald Trump's win in November.
I was surprised at how much attention they're paying to our last election. The first thing we were asked is, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of the election? In one of my teachings, I said, we're all glad that he got in there. Obviously, we didn't want to see Jezebel get elected. Yeah. But I cautioned them because, like here, and I'm hearing from people all over, they think that things now are going to turn around and we're going to get back to normal. As we've said many, many times, I don't think normal is coming back, but I do think this gives us a reprieve to preach the gospel. Followers of Jesus Christ now need to come together, fix their church if it's broken, or start their own if they can't. Now's the time to get the gospel across the street and around the world. As I've traveled the country, I've had former CIA and current CIA people, FBI agents come up to me and talk to me after, and they say, if Trump gets elected, the entire Justice Department needs to be revamped. We're talking the CIA, FBI, Homeland Security, State Department, the people that put the nation through years of phony, made-up accusations and investigations, like former FBI Director James Comey, Andrew McCabe, all the former heads of state that were in the intelligence agency that said Trump was colluding with Russia, they all need to be held accountable. And you know our friend Phil Haney said before his untimely death that it's going to take 10 years to clean out the swamp. Things like this, the Hunter Biden laptop, if that doesn't come to light, what a tragedy that will be, because that is a treasure trove of information that would not only indict Hunter, but the entire Biden family. And the president had to go back all the way to 2014 to acquit him and not hold him accountable for any crimes. Well, what happened in 2014? He became a part of the Burisma board of directors in Ukraine. So all the money that the Biden family has received from China, Russia, Ukraine, I hope that President Trump and the incoming Attorney General Pam Bondi will release all this information, bring it to light. The American people deserve to know what happened during that. That laptop holds a treasure trove of information. And finally, I would say this. There was an attempt on President Trump's life. How do we not know anything about this 20-year-old shooter? Think about it. This happened months ago, and we know literally nothing about him. His social media account was wiped clean. His home was completely cleaned up before they did the search warrant there. He had overseas accounts that we know nothing about. How do we not know anything about this kid? So I pray that President Trump, he has a huge task ahead of him, and I hope he can bring some of this to light.
Ken, you've had 30 years of experience in law enforcement. That's why you're speaking so forcefully right now. Can this be cleaned up? FBI, Homeland Security, CIA, it's all in turmoil. It's all been abused. One of the most stunning things that's been revealed to the American people is the corruption in departments that we have trusted.
According to the whistleblowers that are coming forward, if they don't start at the top and fire the people that are running this, it's going to be very difficult, because I don't think the average American person realizes there are literally thousands of people in our federal government that want to do harm to it. They want to bring our government down. If they don't start at the top and get people in there that are going to do this, I don't see how they can. Like I said, you and I had lunch with Phil Haney. He said it was going to literally take 10 years. I don't know if we have 10 years to clean out our federal government. I pray that we get to the bottom of some of this. It's going to be an arduous task. I don't know if it can be done. Maybe they can bring some of this to light.
And again, speaking to you with your background in law enforcement, a lot of years, we have blue cities, including where the three of us headquarter, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Blue cities are in complete turmoil. The blue cities are swearing to not cooperate with President-elect Trump. That alone is shocking. What do you think?
There's very little most of us can do to change things in the federal government. But what I do tell people at every teaching I'm at is it starts locally. If you want to change things in your community, it starts in your family, it starts in your neighborhood. You need to band together and make sure you know who's on your city council. You need to know who's on your school board. You need to know who's on your county board. You need to know who the sheriff of your county is. The sheriff wields a lot of power in a county, especially when it comes to abiding by the Constitution. So if you don't know who these people are, and if you do and you find out that your school board members want to promote this LGBTQ agenda, you need to find people to step up and run against them. Get them out of office. Most people in their communities don't even go to their city council meetings. They don't go to their school board meetings. They have never sat down and talked with the sheriff. So you need to get involved in your community. If you want to make a difference in your life and your family's life, it starts locally.
Josh, what I hear the two of you saying, even more so since you're back from Europe, is that without a doubt, we are, as I like to say, we're trending towards the tribulation. We're not going to derail God's plan for allowing that terrible time of trial to come on the earth for all those who, quite frankly, are not saved. When we look at things like digital IDs, digital currency, the rush to the one world government, there are so many things that are lining up. Tell me your thoughts about how close we are.
We are getting very close, because the reality is this. Revelation chapter 13 talks about the beast system. And what we are seeing is the way being paved for the beast system. And we all know how difficult it is to change things. So for the Antichrist, he's going to need this system in place before he comes. So if this way is being paved, it's going to literally be a flip of the switch for him to go into power and everything be in place. And if we're seeing all the things that we're seeing with digital IDs, a digital currency, all kinds of different passports, all kinds of technological advancements, all it's going to take is him coming on the scene and we're there.
I think all it's going to take is $36 trillion in debt. That's just America. That doesn't count Europe and the rest of the world. And people are going to be staggering at some point in time and saying, this is impossible. We need some sort of a savior to come in and fix this. Ken, would I be accurate in your eyes?
I don't see how we get out of this unless we were to do something radical as far as it comes to finances. We would have to cut a lot of programs. I'd start with the federal education system. I would cut them, but I don't know if we're going to do that. There would be so much backlash that I don't know if Americans would stand for it. I see the debt. There's no way we can sustain what we're doing. And there is no president that's going to be able to stop that. We're probably going to see not just the American economy collapse, but a global financial collapse, and Trump will get blamed for that.
Your thoughts?
I think what's going to end up happening with that global financial collapse is then the world is going to be begging for a political savior, someone who can fix everything. And there we go. Beast system's already in place. Political savior comes. It just makes sense. When you read the Bible, literally, grammatically, and historically, it's all laid out for us. This is why scripture matters. This is why eschatology matters. This is why understanding our times matter.
Not to mention that all of the global religions are coming together. They're not talking or preaching about the God they believe in. They're preaching about this religious cult of climate change. We're seeing the global financial world come together. And like Josh said, it's setting it up for the beast system.
Pastor Josh Schwartz, you have headed up what's called the Pastor's Huddle here in the Twin Cities, and probably have one coming up next spring. This is in cooperation with Pastor Mark Henry. Mark Henry Ministries, he's pastor of Revived Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and 412 Church, San Jacinto, California. Give us a paragraph on the huddle, and if there are pastors listening right now and they're saying, I really identify with what these two gentlemen have been talking about here, and for that matter, they agree with things that are presented on Understanding the Times Radio over 23 years now, why don't you invite them to the next huddle? And I don't know that we have a program yet, but talk to us about it.
Absolutely. The Pastor's Huddle was created because we saw a void in seminaries, not teaching eschatology, not teaching a consistent literal interpretation of eschatology. So what we've done with Mark Henry Ministries and others is we've pulled together teachers and taught systematically and literally through the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel We've also given the pastors another pastor huddle on really simplifying sermon prep so that you're consistent in taking your dispensational hermeneutic and putting it into play. And then we had our fourth huddle with replacement theology.
Yes.
We did a deep biblical and theological dive on what is replacement theology and is it biblical? Those teachings are available. All you have to do is email me at josh@olivetreeviews.org and I can send those teachings to you. And we will, Lord willing, have another huddle coming up with a date and topic to be determined. Please join us. It's free of charge. We ask that you just cover your travel and room expenses. We give you meals, we give you fellowship, we give you teaching, and we really want to encourage you, equip you, and send you out to be on the front lines of ministry, really influencing your community for the good of the gospel and for consistency.
It's a great program, and the feedback from these pastors has been phenomenal. They've joined together now in fellowship, and they invite us out to speak, and I just think it's a great way to have like-minded pastors come together. And if we're not careful, we're going to be just like Europe.
Yes,
if we don't do
yes.
this, we're going to go right down the path that Europe's going.
Yeah.
So I think what we're doing here is absolutely phenomenal.
And what we found out is many of these pastors, for the first and second huddle, they came, they're like, we're just on an island. There's no one teaching what we're teaching. And it is so good to be together with like-minded brothers, to be equipped and encouraged to fight forward and to assault the kingdom of darkness.
Mm. Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael, thank you for what you're both doing. I think it's incredible. And Ken, you've been a part of the ministry a lot of years, so you can see some steps forward that we've made in reaching out, which you gentlemen have a huge role in.
Only God could do what he's doing to this ministry, and the people that he's brought with us to come alongside, it's been amazing. And Jan, I just want to tell you that no matter where I go, whether it's across the United States or even in Europe, person after person comes up to me and says, please make sure you tell Jan, thank you for what you're doing. I had two people come up to me and said, 23 years ago, I listened to Jan Markell and I was saved. And so I hear that time and time again. And then the pastors that were with, Pastor Brandon Mondo, Pastor Billy, Tom Hughes, they all give you credit because through this ministry, they've been able to launch their ministry, especially Billy. He was shocked when I asked, how many people listen to Jan Markell? And the entire audience raised their hand. It's just so encouraging to see what God's doing through this ministry. I want to thank you. I know Josh wants to thank you. And I know all of our listeners and the people that we're affiliated with, thank you so much for what God's doing.
So thankful to be part of the team in these last dark days.
Thank you both for coming in. Appreciate everything so
much. Thank you for having us, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Okay. Say, I am sorry that I couldn't adequately report on the untimely death and the passing of Hal Lindsey. This happened at the end of November, and I aired repeat programming, followed by another pre-recorded interview of Tom Hughes. I do have some thoughts this week, plus an announcement concerning Understanding the Times Radio in the new year, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But now, deferring to the passing of Hal Lindsey, I want to say that I am not waiting for the Antichrist. I am waiting for Jesus Christ. And that is due in part to the ministry of Hal Lindsey. And his books, his television program, carefully outlined what's known as dispensational theology, also called Left Behind Theology, named after the famous book series. Going back to when I was a young adult, and I found life confusing at best until someone handed me a copy of Hal's book, The Late Great Planet Earth. Now, Time magazine called Hal the Jeremiah of our time, and his classic book, already referenced here, has sold 35 million copies, but other books and TV productions influenced millions more. And I believe two of his greatest contributions were teaching that, number one, Israel was the key to our past, present, and future. And we all know that most churches today marginalize this, focusing on church growth or are steeped in other theologies such as amillennialism, and only dispensational theology explains what the Bible teaches, and that is the king is coming and Israel is the key to understanding this. And second important point he taught, that as believers we should be awaiting Jesus Christ and not the Antichrist. Millions today are caught up in strange rapture timing theologies that offer no blessed hope. Jesus is coming at any minute, and only the dispensational theology explains the imminency of the Lord's return, with Israel as the centerpiece. I'm going to play a quick clip here. It's a conversation between Chuck Missler and Hal Lindsey. Obviously, a few years ago, both have passed on now, and I am honored to say that I knew them both pretty well, brought both of them to the Twin Cities.
It's been a long time since we've been able to really look into the latest things that are happening with regard to the coming of the Lord, the signs that are there.
I've been looking forward to this, Hal, to just get together and exchange a few ideas. And this world is going so crazy. Anxious to get your perspectives.
You know what? I just see that everywhere I turned, and I know you've seen this too, people are scared.
Yes, the apathy seems to have turned to fear.
Yeah.
And that's scary in itself.
A lot of people that know nothing about Bible prophecy, nevertheless, are talking about the fact that it seems like things are coming to some sort of a crescendo, some sort of an end.
And how, yeah. We see it in the young people, too. Yeah. They have no sense of destiny.
That's right.
And the more you watch what's going on, not only in Washington, but in Wall Street, makes no sense. Wow. The more you know about that whole world, the more bizarre.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, I've just wondered from your perspective, what are two or three of the most important things that you've noticed that are fulfilling the signs that we've been looking at for so many years?
Well, as you've taught me from the beginning, you want to know what time it is, you look at Israel.
Always first.
I have vivid memories as a child, I mean, a young, very young person, how people thought Hitler was the Antichrist, but there were two guys on the radio, H.A. Ironside, M.R.D. Hahn, and they both made the point that Hitler could not be the Antichrist because Israel was not in the land. So, and they were regarded as fringe freaks, sort of, fundamentalists, because everybody knew Israel was over because of AD 70 and all that. And on May 14th, 48, that debate should have ended.
Yes.
And but I remember that so vividly as an impressionable, very interested in the Bible, very young. But even in those days, I was very intrigued that here are a couple of guys that had the courage and the guts to insist upon the literal word. And they embarrassed themselves publicly by taking that position. Mm-hmm. And they were right, of course, because Israel was formed, like Isaiah said, in an hour. And the fact that Israel's in the land today, we run the risk of taking that for granted.
Yeah.
We don't realize what an incredible milestone in human history that is. That would be my first thought.
It's almost like I've called it a hinge of history. Talked about this with my dear friend Jack Kinsella, who died several months ago. Few people realize what a absolute colossal fulfillment of prophecy that really was. They need to get into reading Ezekiel chapter 34 through 39 to see just how great that it is.
A classic conversation between Chuck Missler and Hal Lindsey a few years ago. I brought Hal to the Twin Cities in 2004 and 2005, and he told me at that time that it was his goal, this would have been probably back in the 1960s, to write a book on the end times that was easy to understand. Back then, he said, the only books available were written by theologians and for theologians. They were terrific, but the man on the street was lost. Dwight Pentecost's Things to Come was a classic back then, but it was 500 pages and way too scholarly. Without a seminary degree, readers were left, quite frankly, lost and frustrated. Once Hal opened the door for end-time discussion with his books, starting with Late Great Planet Earth, 24 writers followed him, including already mentioned Chuck Missler, Tim LaHaye, Dave Hunt, Ron Rhodes, and so many more, all affected by the life and times of Hal Lindsey. Publishers back then were then eager to help readers understand how the last days played out because of the success of Late Great Planet Earth. And how many of you were impacted by the Left Behind book series that I referenced? So these topics have been discussed now for 23 years here on Understanding the Times Radio, and I'm so thankful for the scholars who went before me, helping some of us non-scholars to understand the key theological issues, making sense out of what was often senseless, the rise of lawlessness, the rush to globalism, the decline of the character of man as outlined in 2 Timothy, and much, much more. We learned from these great teachers that there is a run-up to the tribulation, but who knew before we learned from such incredible teachers? There are prophetic stage-setting signs so prominent here as we wind up the church age. I'll play one more clip of Hal. This would go back to the 1990s. He's giving a message in this particular soundbite, and he's going to reference the explosion of the interest in things of the last days.
And everyone realizes that things are happening today that are extraordinary, unprecedented. And it's like the future shock that we were warned about by Alvin Toffler, the fact that culture and history is changing so fast that we're in a state of shock because nothing's familiar anymore. And things are happening that are earth-shaking, things that people didn't dream could happen, happened within a space of 3 months at the end of the 1980s. There was an article in this January issue of Omni magazine, and it was a tongue-in-cheek article. It was entitled, "The End Is Near Again." It was an article that basically was saying a lot more than I think the authors intended it to say. And this article talked about the fact that as we near the year 2000, there are many different lines of prophecy from many different kinds of religious groups and even non-religious groups that all believe and have predicted something extraordinary is going to happen to the world around the year 2000. They listed the prophecies of Nostradamus, the French philosopher of several centuries ago. They had some prophecies of someone who had quite an influence on Europe for centuries, called the Seeress of Prague, a woman prophetess of the 17th century. And they even had some of the New Age prophecies. There's a new group called the New Age Millennialists, and they had their prophecies included in this. They had prophecies from the Mayan Indian calendar that date back for thousands of years. And the Aztecs calendar, they had prophecies from that, not to mention Edgar Cayce, the so-called sleeping prophet, and Jean Dixon. She's hit so few prophecies and missed on so many, I don't see why they threw her in there, but they did. But they had all of these different prophecies from many different sources in there. And it was intriguing that even they saw that the world is headed towards some sort of a great cataclysmic event, where the world will go through a great crisis, and after that there's going to be this period of peace, and they even use the biblical concept of a millennium, 1,000 years of peace after that. And they brought out the fact that both the Mayan calendar, the Aztec calendar, the Seers of Prague, all focused on the year 2012 AD as being the time when this great catastrophe would come and end, and then there would be this long period of peace. Hey, we don't believe in those prophecies, but it's interesting that people are thinking about the fact that the way history's going, something is about to happen. They even threw me in there. Yes, I was given a few paragraphs. They called me the nuclear warrior who's conjured up a nuclear Armageddon. But they said it is disconcerting that millions of people have read my books and seem to believe it. They did list the fact that many of the things that I talk about from Bible prophecy actually measure up with what these other prophecies have said. Well, I have news for them. When those prophecies are long gone, the Bible will still be here. And there's only one source of prophecy. There's only one source of prophecy that has ever been able to prove itself. The Bible has the only great body of prophecy in the history of mankind that has proven itself to be 100% accurate in history, and history bears record of it. 100%.
Hal was a flawed man like all of us. I could actually slip in some details concerning some of the eccentricities that happened when he was here in the Twin Cities 20 years ago, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to say thank you for opening my eyes. Now, as I transition here, one more topic before we close out the program, and I want to apprise my audience of a change coming up here on Understanding the Times Radio. We've now aired for 23 years, starting on one station here in the Twin Cities, now on roughly 1,000 radio outlets electronically around the world, and I'm going to be cutting my time on air down to 30 minutes in January. You will hear other hosts and guests in part two of the hour because there's so much breaking in the news, not to mention issues within the church. And within apologetics, this ministry wants to continue to get news and information out as effectively as possible. You'll hear more of our ministry representatives, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael. You hear them in our online outreach, and you've heard them now and then here on Understanding the Times Radio. So thank you for being patient with me these 23 years, and we have looked at dozens of issues, and we'll continue to. We will continue to feature the best guests and topics to help you understand the times and help you become watchmen on the wall. And the new format will be launched in early January of the new year. We'll have some special programming coming up to round out the current year. As I go out of the program, let's be honest. We have unstable times run by unstable people producing unstable results. So I close with a classic verse out of Isaiah 33:6, and He, God, will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Hang on to that verse, folks. We're going to need it. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We are God's representatives in a world that has an expiration date. We are here to represent the truth and spread the truth, for God is not the author of confusion. We are on borrowed time as we watch all things fall into place.